Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. Last week, we started a series talking about how that we can love like Jesus. How many think that's a good thing for us to love like Jesus? It's a challenge for us to step up to the plate and to love like Jesus. And actually, there's many pastors in South Florida that are coming together preaching the same message in unity, declaring this over our cities, that God will help us to love like Jesus. In a time in history when there's many broken people, there's many people that are hurting, God has called us as His body to love like Jesus. Last week we talked about how loved people love people. And it's true. If you're filled up with God's love, you're going to find yourself desiring to love on others, to love them with the love of Jesus, because God's love is powerful and it will transform you into somebody that loves on others. And if you missed any of the series so far, you can go back and listen to it on the website. But today I want to speak to you that and tell you that something's missing. Look at somebody and say, something's missing. Something is missing. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Home Alone. How many people have seen the movie Home Alone? Well, it's a Christmas movie, right? And it's a movie where there's this big family, and instead of staying home and celebrating Christmas, they decide they're going to go to Paris and celebrate Christmas there. But it's so chaotic when they wake up late and they're running around trying to get to the airport on time, they forget one of the smaller kids. His name, of course, is Kevin. And they get halfway across the world on an airplane before the parents realize they've forgotten Kevin. And they have this moment when they realize something is off, something's wrong, something is missing. And they look at each other and they shout, Kevin! And they go on this race to get back home, canceling all their plans so that they can reunite back again with Kevin. I want to tell you that today's message about something missing, there is something that is oftentimes missing in our faith. Sometimes we can perceive it that something is off, something is wrong, something is missing, but God wants to show us that sometimes there's something missing, and we need to take a look at that. We need to address that. Actually, Isaiah, in Isaiah 58, God tells His people that there was something important missing from their worship. There was something missing. They were praying, they were fasting, they were doing a lot of the things that looked right on the outside, but something was actually missing. God wants to see this. He wanted them to see that and to repent and reorient their lives to add this thing that was missing. Let's read it in Isaiah 58. It says, shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. If you look at that whole chapter, verse 1 says, my people are rebelling against me. Verse 2 and 3 says, they seem devoted, but they're not. They seem eager for God's ways, and they're doing a lot of things that would normally be applauded. But verse 3 and 4 says that they're fasting while exploiting people. They're praying, but they're still getting into arguments and fighting with one another. God's people in this passage seem to think that they could love people, love God, without loving people. That they could be devoted to God, but not be devoted to one another. The thing that was missing with them, ancient Israel, what was missing from their worship was caring for the poor, caring for those that were in need. Vertical worship requires horizontal compassion. There has to be this component of loving those and serving those that God has placed in our life. If we're always just praying and fasting and singing songs, that's great. That's an important part. But we also have to have this part where we love our neighbor, where we are concerned about those and the things that are going on with others around us. It's not enough to look the part. We have to love like Jesus. Yes, we should fast, but we should also care for the poor. Yes, we should pray, but we should also help the widows and orphans. Yes, we should sing songs of praise, but we should also help broken families. Both things are necessary for true worship. Vertical relationship and horizontal responsibility. That pleases God. It pleases God. And God gave the same exact message through the prophet Amos in Amos 5. He said, "I hate all your show and pretense." Listen, sometimes we can get off as God's people. Sometimes we can miss it. And this was a point that they had missed it. He said, "The hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies, I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living." We need to add to our worship. We need to add to our vertical worship a horizontal expression of Jesus' love. Why? We need to love because it's the right thing to do. Because God has commanded of us. And loving the vulnerable invites God's blessing. This is so powerful to realize what it says later in Isaiah 58, in verse 8 it says, "Then, after you've done these things, after you've added the horizontal love to the vertical worship, then your salvation will come like the dawn. God will save you, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here. He will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden." How many would like to be like a well-watered garden? "Like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and restorer of homes." God will pour out His blessing. The Bible makes it clear that He pours out His blessing on people that understand how to both worship God and love others. To have a vertical expression of worship, but a horizontal expression of love as well. You cannot have the cross without a vertical expression and a horizontal expression. Jesus showed us that. Jesus taught us that. And that's our heritage as Christians. Loving the vulnerable is our spiritual heritage. I don't know if you know this, but from the very beginning, Christians have been known by their love. Christians have a heritage, they have a history of loving people in difficult places when everybody couldn't afford health care. The first public hospital in history was started by the Christians in the 4th century. The poor couldn't afford it, the homeless couldn't afford it, the elderly couldn't afford it, and the church, the Christians, built the first church. And the Christians fought for the sanctity of life from birth to burial. Some people weren't even getting respect or honored when their loved ones were dying. The church made sure that people were getting buried. The church made sure that some of the brutal practices in the Roman Empire, they came against those practices. They petitioned for those things to stop. While the Romans were doing infanticide, the Christians were trying to save children. And even when they would abandon the children in the wilderness, many times Christians would come and adopt those children and raise them as their own. It was the Christian Emperor Valentinian who finally outlawed infanticide in the Roman Empire in 374 AD. There's something innate within us as Christians to do good to our neighbor, to show the love of God, to help the hurting, to see the most vulnerable, and say, what can we do as God's church? It's not enough to just have a vertical expression of worship, praying and fasting, but there also has to be attached with that an expression of love to our community. An expression of love towards broken families, broken marriages. God has been using his people all along to show the radical love to broken and hurting people in our society. God is always knocking on our hearts, challenging us to love like Jesus. Whether it's for the first time or whether it's to move further in the direction of loving like Jesus, God's love is radical. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus to die on the cross. That whosoever would look at that love and look at that sacrifice and identify with that and say, that's me, would have everlasting life. What a radical love to leave the comforts of heaven, to come to earth, to die on the cross to show what love looks like. That is love. Can we love like Jesus sacrificially? Can we love like Jesus to those that are considered the least of these? I believe that's what God wants to do in this season in a special way. Yes, we're always supposed to do that, but there's something special about this season when churches are getting together and coming together and saying, hey, let's unify under the banner of loving like Jesus. We can agree on this. Maybe we have some doctrinal differences, but we can agree on this. We should love like Jesus. There's people around us. There's people in our city. There's people in our communities that we can share the love of Jesus with. Jesus said in Luke 6:32, he said, if you only love those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those that love them. And if you do good only for those that do good to you, why should you get credit? Every sinner, even sinners do that. And if you lend money to only those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners lend to other sinners for a full return. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. Look at somebody and say, your reward from heaven will be very great. Look at somebody else. Your reward from heaven will be very great. If you can love your enemies, if you can care for those that are in difficult places, without love for others, something is missing. We can pray, and we should. We can fast, and we should. We can sing, and we should. But if we don't love like Jesus, we're missing something. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I could speak with all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would be only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I could understand all of God's secret plans and possess all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. The question is, what can we do? What can you do? What can we as a church do to love like Jesus? There's something that God wants us to see in this season. And that is, there are people all around us that He's placed in our path that we can help. Maybe it's sharing faith. Maybe it's making a box at Christmas time that somebody that would not have Christmas could have Christmas. Maybe it's sending a relief offering to hurricane victims. Maybe it's something that God puts on your heart that I didn't mention. But it's a way to love like Jesus. What is God urging you to do this season to love like Him? What is God urging you to do? Is there something missing? Maybe you got a lot of the boxes checked. But if you're missing this, you're missing out on an important part of our faith. That is to love our neighbor as ourself. When Jesus was asked, what are the most important commandments? He gave him two. Love God with everything you got. And love your neighbor. Love God with everything you got. Love your neighbor as yourself. As loved people, we need to be loving people. As people that are serious about our faith, we need to make sure that this isn't missing. The part of where we care for those that are in need around us. We need to make sure this isn't missing. The part about loving our neighbor, loving our community, loving those that are vulnerable. What is God speaking in this season? What is God stirring in this season? It's not just a thing to receive. Life isn't just about what I can receive. It's about what I can give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. What is it that God wants you to give? Your time, your care, your concern. Is there something that we're talking about here on the stage? I want to get involved in that. I want to give back. God, help us see if there's anything missing and add that to our vertical worship, a horizontal expression of faith. Let us love like Jesus. Will you bow your heads? Let's pray together. God, I thank you for the challenge to love like Jesus. Thank you for challenging us today. Because we don't want to have almost everything, have almost all the boxes checked, and miss this important part of love. Love in action. Faith in action. Caring for those that are at a difficult place. God, give us a heart. Stir our hearts to love what society would consider the least of these. The ones that are broken, the ones that are hurting, the ones that are poor, the ones that are in a difficult place. God, show us, teach us how to love them. Stir our hearts for that type of love. And as your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be in my faith walk with Jesus. I feel like I've drifted. I feel like I've gotten disconnected, but I want to reconnect. I want to get back lined up with what Jesus wants for my life. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. Amen. Amen. There's something about saying yes to Jesus. Whether it's, yes, Jesus, I'm coming back. I want to live my life for you. I want to do things your way. Or you say, maybe I've never said yes to Jesus. I've never really dedicated my life to him. If either one of those are you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Amen. If you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer. And everybody that agrees with this, you can say this prayer too. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for wiping my sins out, giving me a fresh start. Jesus, I receive your free gift of salvation, of forgiveness. And I'm sorry for the times I missed it, for the times I've drifted, for the times I've sinned. Apply your forgiveness to me. I realize I need you. Give me your strength. I need you to guide me. I need you to lead me. Teach me how to live a life that pleases the Father. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, come on, let's give God the praise today. I'm so excited. If that was you, if you said, man, I prayed today, I just want to say, I'm excited for where you're going. Understand that even a small prayer in the direction of Jesus is transformative and life-altering. We can move mountains when we have faith, and even a small prayer can do miraculous things. Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.